everyone. This is Mary from Rock of Life Fellowship. I lead the praise and worship music, and I'm also one of the youth and teen leaders. Rock of Life is a new place in Chico where people gather to learn that Jesus is real, always relevant, and wants a relationship with you. Each week, Pastor Alfredo shares a message from the Word of God that is current, relevant, and challenges us to grow our relationship with Jesus. Pastor Alfredo is also a worship leader and former singer of the Christian rock band JBC. We get together each Sunday at 10 a.m. at 2090 Amanda Way at the Little Chico Creek Elementary School, two blocks past Winco off Forest Avenue. Now here's Pastor Alfredo with a recent Rock of Life message.
I'm going to shift into the word gear here. I'm still in the praise mode, which is great. I'll just do both at the same time. So if I stop and start singing in the middle, that's good. Just sing along. But this was probably a message that I didn't struggle with writing. I had struggled with making sure that this is exactly what God wanted to say to us today. And because there was a lot going on, and it seemed like I couldn't finish this message until like this week was complete, because of certain things and situations that were happening in life. And I know I have a weird title on it. We can go to the title. And I'll probably explain this a bit later. But who's in control of the thermostat? Because it's getting hotter now, right? And we're trying to get them to turn the air conditioner on a little bit earlier in here so it's cool when we walk in and kind of cool the atmosphere. But I've been talking with a lot of people lately, and I don't know if this is happening to you, but people I've been talking to lately, they keep saying the same thing when we talk about the situations and issues that are going on in their life. You hear people say a lot, hey, God is in control. It's okay. God's in control. Whether it's just casual talk about life or a real heartbreaking situation, whether we were talking about challenges or anything in between, good and tragic, somebody said, God's in control. And He is. See, it's awesome to know that God is sovereign. I mean, He's in control of everything. He has a master plan that even though at certain times we may not get it, or we may not see the reasons around why certain things happen, there are this situation or this atmosphere and these situations that we may not understand. See, we can know that God is God, and nothing happens without His knowledge, nothing happens without His control, and we have to remember that. So I'm going to recap a few verses before I start in the message, just to remind us about God being in control, that God is sovereign, that there is a master plan. So I'm going to go through these real fast. So I have notes in the back too, so you have to write everything down. There will be notes in the back on this sermon today. But Psalm 103:19 says His throne is in the heavens and His kingdom rules over all. Hebrews 1:3 says He sustains the whole universe just by His powerful word. Psalm 29:3-10 says all natural forces are in His control. Psalms 147:9 said God cares for the smallest of creatures and even provides them food. Joshua 11:20 and Judges 7:22 says God can harden the hearts of His enemies, of His people, so that they fall into His people's hands or even destroy themselves. Obadiah 2 says, God can grow a nation, or if He wants to, God can diminish it. 1 Samuel 16:1 and Psalm says, the Lord can lower a nation's leader or lift up another. Revelations 9:15 says, all the events in human history, everything that has ever happened, happening now or going to happen, is under God's control. Daniel 4:34 says, God's dominion and His kingdom will go through generation to generation to generation. 1 Kings 22 says, God has control when it appears to be a complete accident. There's no coincidences. There's a purpose. Acts 8:14 says, God is in control when His people are persecuted. And the biggest example of God being in control, Acts 4:28 says, God was in control when it seemed all was lost, when Jesus had died on the cross, but through His resurrection, it gave us victory over death and achieved God's will. Amen? So let me give you our foundation verse today. Titus 2:11-12. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. See, God says His desire for us is to follow His will and His ways, to do what's godly and right, and to strive for holiness. That's what it says. That's what God says His will is for us, to strive for holiness, to live a life that's pleasing to Him, to make the right choices, make good choices, and have the best relationship with Jesus ever, because He's our example. So if God says that, and in Titus, he's talking about living self-controlled lives, that also means that we have control as well. There are things that are under our control. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. So what does God say is in our control? You know, how do we affect ourselves, others, and the atmosphere around us? Because face it, you know, we have a lot of power. We have a lot of choices that we can make on a daily basis. God does not force Himself on us. He doesn't make us do things. God gives us the free will to control our decisions, our choices, control the atmosphere and the environment around us. See, we basically even control the biggest decision under our control ever, and that is, are we going to have a relationship with Jesus or not? See, that's up to us. And even if we do have that relationship with Jesus and we accepted Him as Lord and Savior and we said, Lord, I can't do this on my own. I'm tired. I can't do this on my own. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me. I know You're Savior. You're in control of my life now. Even if we say that, which is important, that's our salvation. But it's still our decision daily how we walk in that relationship. It's still up to us if we're striving every day to walk in the will of God. Are we going to follow His Spirit or are we going to fall back on the ways of the world? How we treat others, how we react to certain situations that happen to us, whether they're good or bad. How we react, and if we choose to follow God's Spirit, is absolutely under our control. See, look, from the very beginning, we always pray that the people of Rock of Life and all the churches that believe in the absolute Word of God, the truth of who God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is, we always pray that, you know, that we'd make an impact on our world, that we would strive to have this daily relationship. No matter how young you are, no matter how old you are, God has a plan and a purpose for us, a daily plan and a daily purpose. But too many times, we get thrown and we get swayed by our environment, by our atmosphere, by the things that happen. It sways us away from the flow of the Holy Spirit and making, you know, better choices because we fall back into the ways of the world. I mean, but that's under our control. And it's all about that relationship that we have with God. See, God continually tells the church and tells the people that we're going to be surrounded by situations and challenges. Whether you're in school or at work, or just driving about, you will constantly be placed in situations where you're going to have to decide something. See, situations that may tempt us to make wrong decisions, lose our cool, lose our temperament, become angry or challenged. And I mention a lot, but frequently it always happens when we're driving. I know. I had a tough time moving up here to Paradise because I came from LA where my environment was fast and busy and aggressive. If you've ever lived in LA, you kind of know what I'm talking about. But, you know, I wasn't used to this atmosphere up here, this environment. When I moved, everybody's nice and friendly. You know, for the most part, they were nice and friendly. You know, I'd go into a store and I just wanted to buy something and, you know, they're like, how you doing today? I was in Napa and I was going to buy a windshield wiper. And they're like, how you doing? You from here? We haven't seen you. I'm like, no, I just moved here. And he's like, well, you know, so how long you been up here? And I'm like, can I just pay for the windshield wiper and go? It's because that was the atmosphere that I came from. Driving down the street, people are waving at me and they're walking their dog. And I'm like, okay, hi. I was not used to this atmosphere. So it is really important to realize that the atmosphere that's around us, we actually have the control to create it. So here's your highlight, and here's your key for the day. See, the key is that we can take control of our lives by placing God in control. See, we have that decision. So I mentioned the book of Titus. That's our foundational verse. See, Paul is writing to this young preacher named Titus. And Paul is sharing with him how to set up the church, how to set up the people. He's talking about, okay, here's what the elders should be doing. Here's what your leaders should be doing. Here's the environment that your people should be creating. So Paul's giving instructions, and he specifically says the older men should be teaching the younger men, and the younger men should be creating an environment, and that he's talking to we're not to damage or corrupt the church by bringing in the ways of the world. He starts talking that the older women should pass the knowledge and the wisdom, and that the younger women should be true as they grow older to the church. So he's setting up how the church should be. The biggest point that Paul was saying in this letter to Titus, he was saying you could damage or corrupt the atmosphere of your church by bringing in the ways of the world. And not only that, that when we come into a fellowship, the body of Christ, and we're fellow believers, that we create that spirit around us by allowing God's spirit to move us and guide us and lead us and direct us, then we take it outside. And then Monday through Saturday, we're creating an environment of the Holy Spirit. Amen? See, Paul said numerous times in this book that for everyone to have self-control, that it's given to us by the grace of God through our salvation. So I'm going to read this to you one more time. Titus 2:11-12. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Now, the book of Titus, I just really read through. I mean, I've read through it a couple times, but I really studied it this week, and I noticed it was really similar to my two favorite books, which is Galatians and Ephesians. And the reason why Galatians and Ephesians are my favorite books is because it's really blunt. The way God laid it out, the way he told Paul to write it, it's really blunt. It basically says, if you have a relationship with God, these are the ways of the Spirit. And if you're going to hang out in the world, and if you're going to be influenced by the world, this is what you can expect in your life. They're both really brief books, Galatians and Ephesians, and they're back to back, but they're only 6 chapters each. You can literally read it within like half an hour. In Galatians, Paul wrote to the churches in the region of Galatia and Ephesians. Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus, but it was circulated to all the churches in the area. Each letter was circulated to the churches in those areas, over 6 churches. And I wanted to go over the certain points that relate to the message today. What we can control in our lives by letting God take control. In Galatians, and I know I've mentioned this a lot, and Chip and I have talked about it, but I've mentioned numerous times that if we let the world dictate our actions, God lays out what we can expect. So if we're controlled by the world, we'll be filled with anger and jealousy, sexual immorality, fleshly lust, idolatry, impurity, debauchery, witchcraft, hatred, discord, fits of rage and anger, and selfish ambition, and dissensions, and factions, and envy, and drunkenness. In Galatians 5:22, it says that if we are controlled by the Holy Spirit, if we allow God control, if we say, okay, God, I'm taking control of my life by giving you control, then what should we expect our environment to be? What should we expect the atmosphere to be? The fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I think there's a reason why God puts self-control at the end of those other fruits. To me, it's like that self-control is the foundation. Like those fruits rest on that self-control. See, God in His Word warns that if we do not have self-control and allow God to work in our lives, then we will live out and we will be owned by what controls us. So if anger controls us, we're always going to be controlled by anger. So it's awfully tough to have the rest of the fruits of the Spirit. Because when you're walking in anger and rage, then how are you going to have peace and gentleness? If you are controlled by some type of lust or desire, how are you ever going to be faithful if you don't have the self-control? God says that one of the ways that others can see that we're being led by the Spirit is when they see our self-control. Me, I always kind of dealt with the anger issue, and I still struggle. I mean, I thank God I've made progress, but I'm not where I want to be yet. But I'm always telling myself self-control. It's like if I start welling up, I just go, I'm saying God, self-control. Because the fruits of the Spirit and that self-control, that's the trait and the characteristics of Jesus. See, if Jesus is our example, then we want to be like Christ. We have to have that self-control. We have to have that Holy Spirit temperament. It shows our character and it shows our personality if we're not controlled by the ways of the world. Because when we have that self-control, God gives us that power. We're walking in that Spirit. He gives us the power to overcome the world's challenges, to get a grip on what tried to control us in our past, whether it was, anger or lust or alcohol or greed or envy or just fits of wrath or jealousies. If we have an active, growing, daily relationship with Jesus, and we find our purpose in life, and we start making these strides every day to find out who we are in Christ, self-control is going to be a huge part of that. Because every day we're going to be in situations where we're going to be challenged to lose our self-control. I'm going to highlight something for you. God cannot be in control of us, lead us, guide us, direct our lives, unless we take control of ourselves. That free will that God gives us enables us to go to God and say, okay, God, I can't do this on my own anymore. I'm giving you complete control. I read a devotional not too long ago, maybe a month ago, and it talked about the atmosphere around us. It talked about our actions and our demeanor and how our control is. And it really stuck with me. It was basically saying, are we living in a godly atmosphere? Are we living in like a worldly atmosphere? See, the weather's changing now, right? It's getting hotter. See, summer's almost here. Our atmosphere is changing. And for the most part, every day you can feel it just getting warmer. And my wife is just loving it, right? Yeah. See, because now the battle for creating the temperature and the atmosphere in our house, the battle has started between us now. Because... See, my wife, Debbie, she's not a fan of the heat just because of health reasons. She's like constantly running like 80 degrees. But no matter what time of year it is, Debbie prefers our house to be between like 58 and 62 degrees. Yeah. See, Debbie controls, I'll show you. She controls this. She controls the thermostat in her house most of the time. But, we're always checking it, always going. By the way, you guys remember this kind of old school thermostat, right? Yeah. Remember this? It's like when I was a kid, we had these. They're a little different now. Yeah, they're more. This is one by Google. You can, just speak and say, please set the temperature to 68, and it'll say it. It'll do it. But we have that kind of control. But usually me and my dad are walking around freezing. We have coats on and shoes and hats and... We're women's group, women's Bible study, raise your hand. Right? Right? When you guys walk in the house, you put blankets on. Yeah. It was really funny because a couple weeks ago, somebody walked in the house and said something about calling our house the igloo. It's that next picture. Yeah. That's not our house. But it's kind of like our house. But I think it was funny. So the reason why I'm telling you this right now is because I want to put a picture in your mind. Can you go back one picture? Actually, go back two. Go back there. But I want you to put this image in your head right now. What I want you to do is I want you to think of yourself as a thermostat. Okay? You're a thermostat. You're a device that can control the atmosphere and the environment around you. Okay? You're a thermostat. Now, you're not a thermometer, because a thermometer just takes the temperature of what's around you. But a thermostat, that controls the atmosphere. And that's going to be you, because you can control whether or not we walk in the Spirit or in the ways of the world. See, when we're walking in that Spirit of God, and we have that daily active relationship with Jesus, we can change, we have control of the mood, the atmosphere, the temperature, how people react to us, how we react to other people. Whether or not somebody is comfortable in our presence or whether or not they're uncomfortable in our presence. See, we can actually change the environment around us by setting our thermostat to Holy Spirit. If we move it over to world, that's when we get in trouble, because that's when we lose self-control. So how do we know when we're controlled by the Spirit or the ways of the world? I'm going to give you three quick things. Number one, check the thermostat. Check yourself. Is your relationship with Christ on or off? Are things heating up or cooling down in your atmosphere around you? Because Romans 12, 1, 2 says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind you will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." See, no matter where we are, our relationship with Christ should always be able to keep God in control of our atmosphere, of our environment, of our surroundings. Amen? Number two, check the atmosphere. Check the pulse of the people around you. What are you doing in your atmosphere to the people around you? Are you making everyone comfortable? Or are you making them uncomfortable? It's because we need to recognize our position in Christ. We need to recognize our relationship that God gives us to be an influence to other people, like Romans 12, 2, so that we're a new person. Be an example of Christ and changing the way we think. See, whether we recognize it or not, every single one of us here is influential. We're influential to our husbands, our wives, our children, our kids, our family, our parents, our friends, and our coworkers, strangers. The atmosphere of our thermostat will control other people and what they think about us and what they think about Christ, because we're their examples. We're their examples of Christ. I'm going to give you a quick example. I used to work for this company in LA, and what I did was I was the cleaner. Surprising, right? So I would go into stores. If you don't know, I'm kind of OCD cleaning thing. So I would go into stores. They would put me in these business offices or stores, and it was my job to go in there and observe for a couple of weeks, take notes. They'd fire the manager. They would put me in charge, and then I would start changing everything. I would start cleaning up, hiring, firing, changing systems, redoing stock rooms, redoing how they do customer service. And then when I was done cleaning up that area and changing the atmosphere, they'd move me to another building, another store. They first put me in a business office, and they put me in the biggest store in LA, at the West LA on Bundy Avenue. And then they'd move me around. So if you worked in a store and you knew who I was, and you saw me walk in, what would you think? Uh-oh. Oh, that's what I wrote down. You guys are good. Yeah, you can hear them say, uh-oh. Because suddenly their demeanor changed. The atmosphere changed. You know, they would sit up, and they'd start moving papers, or start typing, or they'd look busy, or the manager would walk up to me and basically say, okay, how much time do I have? And I'd say, let's go in the office. You got a couple weeks. I'm taking over. You're out. I know. It's a tough job. I love that job. But it's a great job. But what happened was I would walk in and I would change the atmosphere. And it wasn't just because of me. Get this now. Here's your highlight. It was because of who I represented. Amen. It was who I represented. I represented the authority of the company. 2 Corinthians 5 says in verse 14, either way, Christ's love controls us. In 20 it says, because we are Christ's ambassadors. We all, each of us, have the influence to control the atmosphere and the temperature of our surroundings. because of who we represent. If we are able to be Christ-like in our demeanor and our personality and the way we respond to people, and we're not fleshly and get mad or upset, then people around us will see what they should be seeing from us, the fruits of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and that self-control. Because if we lose self-control, then it's really tough for us to be taken as representatives of Christ. Then the people around us are probably seeing a different environment than God wanted us to create. They're probably seeing the environment of the world, and they get enough of that. Number three, where is the power source? So the power source for our thermostat is really up to us. The book of Ephesians, which is awesome, and I'm going to recap a few things here, gives us a clear direction on how we control the atmosphere and where our power source comes from. Ephesians 3, 14, and 19. When I think of all of this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the Creator of everything in heaven and earth. I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts and you trust in Him. Your roots will go down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand all as God's people, just how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. I'm going to end with this section. Ephesians 4, 21 to 24. Since you've heard about Jesus and learned the truth that comes from Him, throw off your old sinful nature and your old former way of life, which is corrupt by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. Put on a new nature, which is created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. See, God is in control when we strive to live the way He's called us to live. If we make sure that we know the difference, that when we're in control of ourselves and when the world is in control of ourselves, and if we view ourselves as that thermostat, you've got to understand that you can change the environment around you. You can change your circumstances. You can change how other people react. I'm going to give you one more highlight. We can change the atmosphere from worldly to godly. With God in control, we can change attitudes, our own. We can change the atmosphere to a coolness of the Holy Spirit, to even have that scent of God in our lives. The last verse is Ephesians 5, 1, 2, and then we're going to pray. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are His dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us, and He offered Himself as a sacrifice to us, a pleasing aroma to God. An aroma to God that should fill our environment. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.
Hey, everyone. This is Tommy from Rock of Life. I'm also a youth pastor and teen leader along with my wife, Mary. You can listen to Pastor Alfredo's messages here on KKXX at 12 noon Monday through Friday. You can also hit us up on our website at rockoflifechico.org to see Pastor Alfredo's messages on our YouTube channel link. And feel free to like us on Facebook. If you were inspired and blessed by today's message and would like to continue to hear more from Rock of Life on this radio program, visit our website, rockoflifechico.org, and support us with a one-time or monthly donation. At Rock of Life, we're a family, and everyone is welcome to come as they are, grow, or start your relationship with Jesus. Join us for weekly Bible studies for men, women, and teens, and check out the event calendar on our website for dates and times.
Thanks for listening, and see you on Sunday.